College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper.
College Football Live out of the tunnel. Hugh Freeze, who has led number 22 Liberty to the best start in school history, has a new deal. According to our Chris Lowe, it will place him among the top five highest paid group of five coaches. Elsewhere, LSU coach Ed Orgeron tells reporters that quarterback Miles Brennan, he's dealing with an abdominal hip injury, will likely need to shut things down for the remainder of the season. And we stay in the SEC. Wow. A fourth conference game has been impacted by COVID-19. Saturday's matchup between Georgia and Missouri postponed due to a combination of positive tests and also contact tracing within the Tigers program. But breaking news this afternoon as well. Saturday's game between number 3 Ohio State and Maryland has been canceled. It will not be rescheduled after the Tigers paused all team-related activities, again, due to an elevated number of COVID-19 cases. Happy to be with you. I'm Wendy Nix, along with Todd McShay and David Pollack. We start, of course, this afternoon by saying thank you to all our veterans who have served and continue to serve around the world. We do continue, though, with these postponements as, again, COVID wreaking havoc on the college football season, as we expected. And this, the executive director of the college football playoff with a statement to our Heather Dinich: no one knows how many games any teams will be playing. Everyone's goal is to get the games in within the cone of safety. For the selection committee, it is status quo. This is not a surprise. Most of us expected games to be postponed or canceled. Everyone is moving forward as best they can. Todd, I understand that for the committee it might be status quo, but there's no such thing as status quo right now. How do you process what continues to be postponement after postponement within highly ranked teams?
First of all, we're still playing college football for the most part. So we have to appreciate the fact that so many schools are going through everything that they're going through to try to keep these players safe. The second part is keep the players safe. And if it means postponing a game or canceling a game, that's fine. And the third part for me is I've seen enough from Ohio State right now, at least, to think they're one of the best four teams in the country. And if we get 6 or 7 games the entire regular season, then I'm pretty sure I'll know at that point whether they belong in that you know, the four-team mix at the end. So we're going to get enough football in, but we got to keep everyone safe. And things are starting to spike across the country, as we all know, and it's getting really scary again.
Well, and I think we're going to continue to see this, Todd, because I think there's a lot of teams now that they're tired of it, man. You get to this point in the season. By the way, I'm not going to play for a championship. Like, my team's kind of out of it. You know what? If I want to go to a Halloween party, yep, I'm going to go to a Halloween party. If I want to go kick it, I'm going to go kick it. So I think we're going to expect more of this to come. And you're right. Protect the players from themselves. That's what we got to do. And we are also right, too. We don't have to see 10 games from everybody. We've already seen the Pac-12. They're not going to play. Some of them aren't even going to play 6 games. So just keep going as it is. Keep following the protocols for the different leagues. And if you don't have enough players, and because of contact tracing, because of positives, cancel the game. It's that simple.
It is that simple. And we had a choice. We could have no college football season, or we could have a college football season within these parameters. That's just where we are. And we're going to have to continue to manage this as best we can until it's over. And it looks like we have a long way to go. Let's look back for just a minute to last weekend, because what we did see is Notre Dame knock off then top-ranked Clemson. It was an instant classic filled with drama, 47-40 in double overtime. And it snapped the 36-game regular season winning streak, with the Irish moving to 7-0. So they remain undefeated. The win over Clemson put Notre Dame to number 2 in the AP poll this week. Now, that's its best ranking since 2012. How do the ACC schools feel about the Fighting Irish being a part of the conference this year? Here's Pittsburgh coach Pat Narduzzi and his thoughts earlier in the week.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they do. I hope they, you know, to me it's either, you know, either play with us or don't play with us, you know. You almost like to boycott it, but if you want to play in the ACC, come play in the ACC. And again, I'm not the commissioner, and that's Coach Swofford's job to help out there. But you know, to me, it's either play or don't play. And if you don't want to play, let's not give them 5 games. Let them go, you know, play BYU and whoever else they want to play. But we shouldn't give them the games. But they're talented, and we'd love to have them in the ACC for sure.
Well, I do think it's worth noting, David, that his team was beaten 45-3 by Notre Dame last month. I don't know if that has anything to do with the way he feels. Nevertheless, it is what it is, at least for right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're not the commissioner. You're right. You're 100% right. So don't be the commissioner. I mean, just coach your team. Do what you do, bud. I mean,
amen,
play football.
Man.
Like,
amen.
By the way, this isn't new. This isn't a new news flash. This has been going on, right? I mean, the Notre Dame has been part of the ACC, kind of the way they want to be part of the ACC, and that hasn't changed. By the way, the pandemic made them join a conference, and guess who allowed it? The ACC, Todd. Come on in. We'll let you do it for this year. So if I'm Notre Dame, I'm making all this money, and I can stay independent and just kind of play in your league, and it gives me enough to get by. Okay, I'll keep doing it.
And if Pat Narduzzi was the head coach at Notre Dame, he'd want that NBC money too. Let's just be honest. And I get it. He was asked
yes,
the question. And I'm sure it kind of came out of nowhere. But you've lost four out of the last five. Let's focus on your football team and not what Notre Dame's doing, especially coming off of one of the biggest wins in the last probably two decades of their program. So I thought it was surprising. I thought Pat Narduzzi, I still think he has no influence over this. So why bring it up and why have this discussion? Just say, you know, I'm going to pass and ask me the next question.
Well, and again, it goes back to the situation where did you want, you know, we looked at not having any college football there for a minute. We had to get this done pretty much any way you can.
Yeah, we're all
having it. Sounds like
adjust.
He's got, yeah, I mean, you know what? You got to roll with it. Let's look ahead with that in mind to what Notre Dame has next, and that is Boston College. Now, don't forget, the Eagles gave Clemson a scare, at least in that first half, when those two teams faced off 2 weeks ago. Let's flash back to an instant classic between Boston College and Notre Dame. They've had quite the history. And actually, instead, David, I'm just, you know what? Let's look ahead. Let's look ahead right now. What have you seen when you look at Notre Dame's offense?
Well, hold on. We'll flash back, Wendy, to last week with Clemson. You were right. You're right on cue. So we'll flash
okay,
back to watching Ian Book and what he was doing. You knew what you didn't know. And I was just so impressed with Ian Book. It's the best, by the way, I've ever seen Ian Book play. I mean, he was awesome. It was a great week. He did a great job. First of all, at the line of scrimmage, let's talk about the offensive line. The offensive line is filthy. Like, they're unbelievable. Just creating lanes. Look at this, picking up stunts and being able to understand what's going up on. A seal here, a seal here. What you got? You got an alley to run through for Kyren Williams. A bunch of fifth-year seniors up front that didn't let any of the pressure bother them whatsoever and just created holes. Boom. How about Ian Book? Dropping back to pass repeatedly, time after time after time after time, and nobody could get to him. It was unbelievable to watch. He did a great job buying time in the backfield, but more importantly, his group just assessed who's coming, who's blitzing. Okay, you want to come? We got that figured out, man. That's no big deal. And by the way, Todd knows this too. Venables eats everybody up every week, does such a good job with it. And then I think when you look at Ian Book, as a scrambler, he knows how to set up blocks, man. He does such an unbelievable yep. job of stepping in and then stepping out and setting up blocks. It's like a crossover. You see defensive ends all the time. They see him cut in and like, I got you, little sucker. Come here. Nope, I'm out here. So unbelievable job by Notre Dame's offensive line to protect him. And then Ian Book, natural and savvy to set up his own stuff. And that's why Notre Dame was able to beat Clemson, because that offensive line paired with Ian Book in that running game, it was too much, man.
Well, listen, we got the audio, David. I got you, little sucker, was exactly what was said, Todd. That was like verbatim.
Our cameras caught that, yep.
Yep. Todd, listen, let me ask you this, because the Fighting Irish have not won a national title since Lou Holtz, 1988? And that's what it's about in South Bend. You cannot let your guard down. Remember 93, they beat Florida State, and then a week later, Boston College knocked them off, ruined the whole thing. Are they a real contender here at this point?
They are. They are now. I mean, and I wasn't sure a week ago, and I said on this very show, the lack of perimeter speed and playmakers on the offensive side was concerning to me. But what I'm starting to learn is, with as David just alluded to, the offensive line, Ian Book creating and extending beyond the initial play, those tight ends. Tommy Tremble, Michael Mayer. Michael Mayer is a freak, by the way. He seems to always make a big play when they need it on a third down and finish. And then Kyren Williams is really their difference maker, and they'll figure it out with size on the outside versus speed. But on the defensive side, this is where I think they're different than they have been in years past, because they've always been able to run. They've always had a good offensive line. But I think they can match up with just about anyone in the country defensively from a speed standpoint. You know, you look at Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and what he's able to do as an off-the-ball linebacker who can play in that overhang in the slot, cover guys, blitz off the edge, come through the A-gap or B-gap. And Dalen Hayes is playing up front and versatile and the things that he does. Kyle Hamilton at the safety position can move around and do different things too. This is a defense that has the speed to compete with any team in the country. I'm convinced of that at this point.
Well, they go on the road to Boston College this weekend, a 3:30 kickoff on ABC Saturday afternoon in the Heights. Still to come on College Football Live, we've got a pair of quarterbacks putting up some tremendous numbers, Joe Burrow-like numbers, in fact. We'll talk about who you'd rather have at the championship on the line. Would it be Mac Jones or Kyle Trask?
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville, and in part by Burger King. Mix and match your favorites for just $5.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
North Carolina lucky enough to have running back Michael Carter for 4 seasons, the 8th leading rusher in school history, and both parents are veterans. He offered a tribute earlier today.
My beautiful mother, Suzette, spent most of her time in the military, in the Air Force, doing social work. And helping people every day with their problems. My dad, Tony, he did 20 years in the Air Force. We served a couple of tours, Afghanistan, Iraq. And being brought up in a household like I was very impactful because of the lessons that I learned growing up with 2 siblings and military parents about respect and loyalty and trust. It was always a safe space to be brought up in, but it was also a place where respect was important. Message to my mom and my dad, thank y'all for everything y'all did, everything that y'all continue to do, and everything that y'all will do in the future, because y'all never stop working and y'all never stop doing everything that you can to make us feel better and help us be the best men that we can be. Thank you.
We add our thank you to the Carter family as well as we take a look at our Dr. Pepper Championship Drive Game of the Week preview. Number 6 Florida playing host to Arkansas. This game Saturday at 7 Eastern on ESPN. Since Arkansas joined the SEC, Florida has won 9 of 10. But the most recent meeting in 2016 resulted in a win for the Razorbacks. Arkansas will be without coach Sam Pittman. He has tested positive for COVID-19. Florida will look to stay hot this weekend behind the play of Kyle Trask. He's numbered through 5 games, look awfully similar to that of Joe Burrow's from last season, and that means very good things. Trask in Florida could be on track to meet another talented SEC quarterback in Mac Jones later this season. Burrow, of course, went on to lead LSU to a national championship and put up historic numbers. Trask and Jones, Todd, seem to be on a collision course to meet in the SEC championship. If you have a championship on the line, which one are you taking?
I mean, I'm going to go with Mac Jones. And Kyle Trask has been unbelievable. And I love the way he's feeding his receivers and Kyle Pitts and knows when to throw the ball up.
But
how patient and poised he is. But Got it? But I just think Mac Jones has been phenomenal. You know, when you come into the biggest rivalry, arguably in all of college football, and throw two pick sixes, bounce back, and then put your team in a position to win that game, or at least tie it with a field goal against Auburn last year, and then you bounce back in the bowl game and win against Michigan, and then come into this season and refuse to lose the job, even though there was a true freshman that came in that was supposed to win the job. Steve Sarkisian's so impressed with the way he's worked and owned this position and the leadership that he's brought, and I'm so impressed with how he is so patient inside the pocket and poised and is just distributing the ball, even when he lost Jaylen Waddle, one of the most explosive players in all of the country.
Quit talking that Trask, man. Come on. Like, Kyle Trask, listen, first of all, I agree with you because I've seen enough from Mac Jones and his pinpoint accuracy has been ridiculous. But Kyle Trask,
I know,
did Georgia this past weekend, was just, I mean, it was abuse. He should be arrested for it. It was assault. Took care of that defense better than Mac Jones did, by the way, when he played him. But just, I tell you what, with Kyle Trask, it's the poise, it's the composure, it's the strength in the pocket to shrug people off and continue to play. And by the way, I would say that his supporting cast is much worse than Alabama. He's proven so much from taking over a year ago to now, to proven to the point where I think teams are going to look at him in the NFL and go, dang, I might could build around this guy and maybe build a future. That's how much better, that's how much he's improved. He hadn't even started a game in high school or college in the last, like, 4 years up until last year. So it's just nuts to think about that.
And also, how Todd, impressive is it with all these quarterbacks? I'm sorry, I'm jumping in, but Trevor Lawrence comes back and is playing better than he was a year ago with the COVID and everything going on. Same with Justin Fields at Ohio State. Trask, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson at BYU. You're talking about five or six guys that are going to be top 50 picks in the NFL that have all improved during all this craziness that's been going on the last 6 months. Trey Lance as well.
Yeah, he had that one showcase game, that exhibition game.
Yeah, that's right. The one game season. Hey, I guess some is better than none. And listen, it's made it a lot of fun. We talked about how flexible we've had to be. We see these games canceled and postponed, but this is why you wanted to see these guys have an opportunity to play at least to the extent that they can this season. I don't know if they would think so at Penn State and Michigan. I guess they would, but they're a combined 1-5. And we'll talk about which has been more disappointing and if either season is salvageable.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
Form, please. Now go ahead.
Well, you can't beat that. How about a doubleheader action Saturday on ABC? The second-ranked Fighting Irish at Boston College. That's at 3:30. And then at 7:30, number 13 Wisconsin and Michigan at the Big House. Both games on ABC and the ESPN app. Now, the last time we saw Wisconsin quarterback Graham Mertz and the Badgers was way back on October 23rd, their blowout win over Illinois. Mertz among several in the Badger program dealing with COVID-19. And earlier today, Wisconsin offensive coordinator Joe Rudolph said Mertz is in the protocol and they're waiting to see if he will be available. Look, it's always unfortunate, obviously health first, Todd, but also in this case, he was lights out in that one game we saw and there was a lot of hope and optimism. What did you see?
Yeah, there was a lot of hype coming in. You don't normally get a lot of hype for Wisconsin quarterbacks. But he showed the skill set in that game. I was really impressed. The thing that really stood out to me, Wendy, was the fact that he, for a guy without a lot of experience, is stepping in and is poised in the pocket, is going through his progression reads, he's seeing the whole field, And then he's throwing with anticipation. He looked like a guy who was 21, 22 years old, who had been through, you know, 15, 20 starts in college and had it all under control. So I obviously I hope all these players are able to play, but I would really like to see more of him in a game against a defense. And I know he's banged up for Michigan, but there's still a lot of talent on that side of the ball.
And again, it is Wednesday afternoon. That will just take a few more days, so they'll see. Again, the number 13 Badgers will face Michigan. That game, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. And the Wolverines and the Penn State Nittany Lions off to a rough start. Boy, isn't that an understatement? They were both ranked in the preseason AP poll and now both hold losing records. And in fact, the losses have been notable. David Pollack, Michigan or Penn State, the more disappointing season?
See, what had happened was, listen, I think when we talk about coming into the season, we talked about how Jim Harbaugh couldn't beat Ohio State. Now we're talking about how Jim Harbaugh can't beat Indiana. So I think it's Michigan. Listen, both are bad, but this was supposed to be a year, another year of optimism, and the offense was going to look better for Michigan, and the answer is nope. Nope. And I don't know where we go from here. I know he's one of the highest paid coaches in college football, but the results definitely aren't showing through. So I think Michigan fans are probably at this point in the season, actually, they've already punted. They're like, wait a minute, our basketball recruiting class is really good. We're probably just going to go ahead and switch over to hoops because it's been a rough start.
Look, it has been a rough start. Go ahead, Todd.
I was just going to say, what would the odds have been if you said that these two programs would be, what, 1-5? After the first few weeks of the season, it's remarkable. And for Michigan to play so well in the first game and then as poorly as they have the last 2 weeks, that to me is the most disappointing and surprising part.
Well, Todd, you're right. Guys, have a great night. We're back tomorrow.
Bye.